4. Max let out an irritated sigh as he saw Blaze standing outside the room behind Fang. While his long braided hair was white as snow, his skin was as darkly olive as Max's, in spite of Blaze's albinism. At first glance, there was little that denoted them as family, something that had served them all well, as it kept their enemies from using them against each other.
Brother, you've always had the shittiest timing.
Though Blaze was supposed to be virtually blind in his human incarnation, the slow smile that spread across his face said he knew Max wasn't alone. Is that the scent of a prime spawning dragon swan I smell?
You lucky dragon, you. No wonder you wanted to be alone.
Agitated all the more at the vulgar insinuation, Max rumbled a low growl that was unique to their breed, a sign of warning parents use to correct their errant children. It usually preceded a sound thrashing.
That is my mate, you insult. Apologize.
Even though it wasn't in his nature, Blaze immediately backed down, but only because they were family, and Max was the eldest. Otherwise they'd be fighting right now.
Forgive me, Stradraga.
Blaze used the formal term for a dragon swain's mate.
It appears my brother didn't share his good news with me.
Blaze tisked in Max's direction. I would have sent a wedding present, had I known.
Since we were mated centuries before you were born, I'd have paid money to see you do that.
Blaze's jaw dropped.
And you failed to mention this to me? Seriously?
Fang clapped him on the back.
Told you you were in for a surprise, didn't I?
Nice.
Blaze passed a vengeful glare in Fang's direction. Remember, Wolf, payback's a bitch.
Fang snorted. What can I say? My wife's always complaining that I'm the worst behaved of all her children, and given the fact that Dev's one of her unruly brood, that says it all. His grin widened to an irritating level. And on that note, I'm drifting back downstairs to give you guys space to hash out this fresh hell. Let me know if any bodies need to be hidden later, or if there are any blood splatters I have to clean. Try not to get the hemoglobin on anything that stains. I don't want to listen to Quinn bitch about repainting.
Serafina glanced back and forth between the two different species of dragon before she slowly neared Blaze and sniffed him. Strange. He smelled more human than dragon.
Hey, I bathed, Blaze said in a playfully offended tone as he stepped away from her.
You really are related.
Max smirked at her stunned disbelief.
Our mother was as discriminating as an Amazon in heat and had the morals of one to boot.
She glared at him. Which is the only way you could have ever been deemed worthy of any of us. Blaze sucked his breath in sharply. Ouch, Max, she's quick.
I like her. He ignored the comment. Why are you here, Blaze?
I was coming to warn you about something fairly significant. I'm thinking now that I might be too late.
For?
Someone accessed the power of the Emerald Tablet. It fractured a part of Merlin's spell around Terre des Relevois and almost unleashed the great evil back into the Midgard.
Serafina scowled as Max cursed under his breath over that potentially fatal near miss.
Back into what?
Midgard. Max repeated the old English word slowly. You'd know it as Ocumene, the world inhabited by mankind, this realm.
And Merlin?
My boss in Avalon,
Blaze explained.
Max knew that would be meaningless to her too, since she long predated Arthur and all the legends that surrounded the medieval Fey king and his court.
It's an alternate dimension similar to the one you were banished to.
Her jaw dropped as indignation darkened her cheeks. Her eyes telegraphed that familiar disdain that had once cut him to the core of his soul.
You bastard! You knew I was trapped, and you left me there to rot for all eternity?
The irony of her righteous anger amused him.
Again, I remind you of how we parted ways. I begged you to come with me, to start our family in peace, together, away from the corrupted politics of your tribe that you knew and agreed were wrong, and what did you do? You collared me for your queen and handed me over to her tender and loving care. So tell me why I should have defied your gods who punished you for her rebellion and risked my life to free you after what all of you did to me.
Seraphina wanted to remind him that she was his mate. But that cut both ways. How could she expect him to defy the gods to protect her when she'd refused to defy her own Basilina, who had far less reaching power? He was right. She should have stood by him, instead of surrendering him for something she'd known even then was wrong. And that just made her all the angrier. Not at him, but at herself, which she took out on him for making her feel this way, for reminding her of the shame she bore for her own part in the travesty of his wrongful trial and punishment.
"I hate you! If not for my children, I wouldn't be here."
Max gave her a cold, dry sneer.
"If not for my dragonettes, I'd have already killed you."
The saddest part was, she didn't doubt that. He was, after all, an animal, a reptilian serpent. His cold-blooded, merciless nature was what had caused him to be branded the Dragonbane. Mistaking him for human was what had gotten her into this mess. She couldn't let herself ever forget again that at the end of the day, there was no real human in him. Though he might wear the skin of a man, his heart was and would forever be that of a winged dragon serpent. One born not of a mother's warm, nurturing womb, but from a cold, empty egg. He hadn't been held and nursed as an infant. Never protected or loved. Within minutes of his solitary birth, he'd clawed his way from his egg and made his first kill so that he could live, had crawled onto the corpse of his prey so that he could be warm for a bit as he gnawed on its entrails. Max had been spawned with no understanding of love, compassion, or decency, only pecking order, and where creatures fell on his food chain, a food chain where he reigned supreme. Every creature that walked this planet was on his menu and subject to his invincible martial skills. Nothing and no one was sacred to him, and he left a bloody trail of human and Arcadian bodies in his wake. Trying not to think about that, or else she'd be sick, she looked to the newcomer, who appeared to have somewhat more humanity in him than Maxis. While his species of Dracokin was familiar to her, she didn't know much about the mandrakes. Yet the aura of magic he could command was unmistakable. He, like Maxis, was a sorcerer of supreme skill.
"What is this great evil that you speak of?"
"Morgan Le Fay, you know her?" She shook her head.
"Lucky you," Blaze said under his breath.
Then louder,
"She's related to the Tuatha De Danann, and is a dark she-queen."
"Should you ever cross her path, you will want to avoid her." Maxis's tone was flat and dry. "Even though you're Arcadian, she'll take your heart same as ours and use it for her spells."
"Speaking of, where's Ilarion?"
Maxis cut a chilling sideways glare to her before he answered Blaze's question.
"Resting. And since you're here, can I ask a favor?"
"Of course."
"Will you watch over him while I attend a matter with my dragon swan?"
Blaze frowned.
"What matter is this?"
"A personal one I'd rather not involve my brothers in."
Seraphina saw the dragon light flash in Blaze's lavender gaze as he realized Max was about to do something extremely dangerous alone.
"Max, no lip. This is something I need to do without either of you getting in my way and annoying me in the process. Ilarion is still adjusting to this world and time. He doesn't need to be left on his own right now."
Blaze screwed his face up.
"With the exception of Monty Python and a few other movie franchises, I'm not real fond of this time period either, you know."
"I know."
As Maxis turned back toward her, she hesitated.
Don't do it. He won't forgive you. Then again, he already hates me. What's the difference?
And in her mind, she saw him down in the pit as she left him the last time she'd seen him in her village. Nearly dead, bleeding because of her and what she'd done. Yes, he was immortal, but he could be killed. That was what they'd almost done to him then, and it was what they intended to do now, to take his powers and his dragon's heart and to use them against this Striker.
He's an animal. Sacrifice him for your children and be done with it.
Cold-blooded, ruthless, like him and all of his kind. Yet in her mind, that wasn't what she remembered of her mate. It wasn't the dragon beast who haunted her dreams and brought tears to her eyes whenever she remembered their past together. It was the bashful male who'd been so curious about her world, so kind to her and thoughtful in spite of his cold beginning. The one who'd tried to fit in with her tribe and please her. To that end, he'd shed his clothes and dragon customs and had adopted their style of dress and manner of doing things. For 3 years, he'd laid aside his claws and wild ways and done his best to suppress everything he knew and was so that he wouldn't anger her sister tribe's women. And they had been merciless to him, goading and insulting, demeaning. Even their men had rejected him and made sure that he wasn't included in anything they did.
You're incapable of understanding. You're just a dumb animal.
They'd even thrown rocks or sticks at him to drive him away whenever he came near them, as if he were a crow or some other vermin nuisance they didn't want around. Never once did he complain to her over it. He'd merely walked away in silence, head high, eyes haunted. It was why he'd done his best to never show them his real form. Rather, he'd stayed in his human body as long as he could physically do so. Until he'd been so weak and ill that he couldn't stand it anymore. Then he'd seek privacy to shift for a brief respite and to sleep. Someplace dark and secluded so that no one in her tribe would see his real body. As if what he did, what he really was innately wrong and grotesque. Forbidden. In all her long existence, Maxis was the only one who'd ever made such sacrifices for her, the only one who'd ever put her needs above his own. And he'd given her the two greatest blessings of her life. Hayden was so like his father, not just in form and mannerisms. He held the same loyalty and honor, that need to protect whatever he loved above all else as if they were sacred objects. Unlike Maxis and his brothers, both of their children were Arcadian, human-born, and trained to be dragon slayers, like her and her people. Nala and the others had taken a morbid thrill over the fact that both of them were some of the best hunters among their tribe. When Adina had made her first kill, they had celebrated with an overzealous glee that still sickened a part of Serafina's soul. Now that she thought about it, Max hadn't even asked her about their children's base forms. He hadn't cared. They were his progeny, and that was all that mattered to him. Not whether or not they were Arcadian or Katagaria. Regardless of their birth forms, they were his, and therefore worth his life, even though they were strangers and he'd never met them. And her people dared to call him the animal. In his own way, he knew more about love and decency than any man she'd ever met. In that moment, she made a decision she knew would make him furious. But he'd already suffered enough for her stupidity. She wasn't about to watch him be slaughtered for no reason. Not when she knew she could help it. And him.
Blaze, if you care for your brother, stop him from leaving.
He's off to face a demon who plans to slaughter him and bring back the reign of the Sumerian demons. Max cursed under his breath as Blaze moved to block the door.
Did you, perchance, forget to mention a minor, major detail, brother?
Maxus sighed heavily. I didn't forget. I intentionally left it out.
Blaze sputtered. Hell of a detail to omit. Care to elaborate, now?
Not really. If you'll excuse me.
Blaze completely blocked the door. Don't make me call out Kerrigan. I might not be able to kick your ass, but he has a good chance of it.
Not amused, and I don't have time to waste. Now move aside, or else I'll move you, and you won't like the bruises caused by it.
Why? You really want to die that badly?
Max laughed, low and evil. I'm not a mandrake, Blaze. Have you any idea how long it's been since I've killed in my true form? How much I've missed it? For too long I've been forced to live in a cage. They want a battle? Bring it. This is what I was spawned for. If it's a true-born dragon they want, then I say they should actually face one, not one of the pussy half-bloods they've been battling. Let them taste my fiery wrath as I send them all straight to their respective hells.
Seraphina shivered at those growled words.
He was right. She'd only seen his real form once, and it had terrified her to such an extreme that he'd promised to never transform around her again. While she'd killed dozens of Katagaria and other breeds of dragons, they were nothing like him. The Rakomai were the oldest and deadliest of their species. They were so powerful that even when Nala had tried her best to force him to transform, he'd been able to hold his human body. No matter the pain they'd heaped upon him, the most they'd gotten from him, involuntarily, was his wings had jutted out of his back. Nothing more. She couldn't imagine going up against him in battle. It'd have to be terrifying. But Blaze didn't shirk as he continued to block his way. It was comical, really. Fine, then. I'll bleed all over you and make Quinn pissed when he has to repaint the room.
Max let out a frustrated breath.
I swear to the gods.
He picked Blaze up and physically set him down on the other side so that he could pass. As he started out the door, Blaze let out a shrill, haunting cry. With a fierce snarl, Max turned back on him and covered Blaze's mouth with his hand.
Stop it!
Blaze bit him. Cursing his brother and insulting their mutual mother, Max has snatched his hand away.
I can't believe you did that!
She had no idea what that was about until the door was thrown open to show another male dragon. Slightly taller than Max's, he had long brown hair, liberally sprinkled with auburn highlights, hair that was disheveled by sleep. Even though he was fully grown and muscular, he frowned at them like a small, irritable child who was angry at being awakened. Realizing there was no imminent threat, he rubbed at his eyes, a gesture that reminded her much of Hayden in the morning.
What the hell are you two hatchlings doing? I thought you were under attack.
The thickly masculine words whispered through her mind as if he projected them there. He scratched at the whiskers on his cheek. Blaze shoved at Maxus.
He's planning to leave us behind and go fight demons on his own for his dragon swan. Go in and tell him how stupid he is. I tried, and he's too stupid to listen.
The dragon swain arched a brow at that. His sharp, steely gaze went to her and narrowed with a bloodlust that scared her. Shaking his head, he let out a frustrated sigh as he returned a furious glower to Maxus.
So, can I kill her now?
Eyes wide, Seraphina stepped back.
Excuse me? No,
Maxus snapped.
And stop asking me that.
Completely ignoring her, the newcomer looked up at the ceiling.
It's so not fair. I lost my Edlin, and yet this bitch lives and returns. Why, gods? Why?
His jaw ticking, he looked to Blaze.
Is there not some transmutation of souls we can do? Place my mate's soul in her body?
Maybe.
Max growled at them.
Stop it, both of you. You're not gonna swap out her soul.
Curling his lip, the dragon swain, who kept speaking only through their thoughts, gestured toward Serafina.
I don't understand why you continue to protect her. She's never brought anything save utter hell and misery to your door. You told me yourself that she could barely look at you when you lived together. So why are you so eager now to die at her command? Let her rot in whatever mess she's woven. It serves her right and is all she deserves.
Serafina winced at a truth she hadn't even realized Maxus had noticed. To her ever shame, Ilarion was right. She'd had a hard time looking at her mate when they shared a home.
Enough, Ilarion. She's the mother of my young, and I will not have you say another word against her.
Ilarion's jaw went slack.
You spawned with her? Are you infinitely stupid?
His gaze went from Maxus to lock on hers with a frigidity that sent shivers down her spine.
Instead of saving their race, Max, you should have cut that ungrateful whore's throat and devoured her unborn young when you had the chance. Save us all the misery and heartache they've caused us since then. Not to mention the indigestion and ulcers.
He raked another cold sneer over Serafina.
Be grateful you're his mate. That alone stays my hand from ripping out your heart and feasting on it. Arcadian.
The way he spat the word in her mind made it sound like the worst sort of insult.
If not for them, Ilarion, you'd have never met your Edlin.
Ilarion winced and looked away.
You're not helping your cause, brother. You're only reminding me why I hate them all and what they've viciously taken from me. Now, what's this infernal madness you're about?
Max glared at him.
You're the only being alive who can talk to me like that and not be gutted on the floor.
Yeah, Blaze said in an irritated voice. Why does he get that favoritism? You'd lay me out cold for it. Ilarion cut another malicious glare at Serafina before he answered Blaze's question.
Before you were born, Blaze, I was the one who found Max, after her tribe all but gelded and skinned him alive. They had him muzzled with a Matriazo collar that restricted his ability to use his magic in any way. He couldn't even transform to heal himself. Had I not found him when I did, he would have died. I doubt he'd have made it through another 3 hours in the condition he was in.
Blaze sucked his breath in sharply at what that meant, as Serafina closed her eyes in sympathetic pain and horror. What Ilarion didn't know was that she hated her own self for the part she'd played in that, far more than he ever could. It was a moment that had haunted her day and night, and in particular every time she looked into the faces of her children and had to explain to them why their father wasn't with them, why it was all her fault, and why they were to never blame him for it. They knew she didn't blame him. How could she?
His lip curled. Ilarion circled her. Had an enemy found him, he'd have been gutted and tortured even more. I don't say worse, because no one could have done him worse harm than you and your tribe did.
Enough, she breathed, unable to stand it, but he took no mercy on her.
They'd even clipped his wings to ground him.
Stop,
Max snarled. Now even Blaze glared at her. What could she say? They weren't supposed to do that? That she'd fought her sisters to stop them from torturing her mate? And had only ceased fighting against them for fear of miscarrying her children? She'd been as horrified by their actions against Maxus as his brothers were. But she'd been powerless to stop it.
Truthfully, she'd never gotten over her own sense of hopelessness that day, that feeling of just how little control she had. It had been the hardest lesson of her life. Maxis broke between his brothers to approach her. To her shock, he gently lifted her chin until she met his haunted gaze.
My wings grew back together. After 200 years, leaving you at the mercy of enemies you couldn't escape until you could fly again.
He glanced over his shoulder toward Ilarion.
It taught me to be a stronger fighter. Now leave it. This isn't about me or the past. It's about my dragonettes and their survival today.
Ilarion moved to stand at Maxis's back. He placed his hand on his brother's shoulder.
You are the only parent I've ever known. And you're my best friend. I will not let you fight alone.
Blaze nodded.
Three dragons are better than one.
Scoffing, Max dropped his hand from Seraphina's face.
Two dragons and a mandrake.
What exactly is a mandrake? She asked, not quite sure of the exact difference between them.
They're the children of dragons seduced by Adonai, who wanted to tame them. Born from the womb of an Adonai mother, they were hybrids of the two races at first, until they became a separate species by themselves.
Blaze nodded. My father was the leader of the mandrakes under King Uther Pendragon. When I was born, looking like this, he held his hands out to show off his face, my demonic mother decided she had no use for her special mandrake son. She handed me over to my father, who then took me out to the woods and left me to die.
I'm sorry.
He shrugged.
Don't be. Got over it. And given my mother's wonderful personality and my father's oh-so-kind temperament, prefer it to having been kept by either of them. Normally, I just tell folks I know nothing of my parents and leave it at that. It's easier than dealing with their pity for something that really doesn't affect me.
Like Maxis. It had never bothered him either, that his mother had abandoned her nest and left him to either die or survive on his own. Something Seraphina hadn't known about him until he'd seen one of the women in her tribe nursing her infant. He'd stopped in his tracks to stare at them with a curious scowl.
What is she doing to that poor child?
Seraphina had laughed at his shocked question.
Nursing it?
Perplexed, he deepened his frown even more as he looked back at Seraphina.
Why? Is it ill?
Seraphina had paused to stare up at him as she realized he was in earnest.
It's what a mother does with her young to feed them. Were you not so nursed?
No, never. I was only fed by demons whenever I was ill, and I only met my mother once when I returned to my nest to bury my skin. She was laying more eggs there. At first I thought her an interloper. As I went to drive her away, she clipped my wings as punishment and told me who she was.
It had been her turn to be completely stunned by the disclosure. She couldn't fathom what he described.
Why did she abandon you?
He'd been as baffled by her as she was by him.
Why would she stay?
Aghast, she laughed nervously at his inability to comprehend basic human decency and the role a parent played in their children's development.
To feed you? Clothe you? Protect you?
I was fully Drakomas then. I required no clothing. As for food, I found my own, and was more than able to scurry and hide from or fight whatever pursued me.
There'd been no animus or condemnation for his parents in his tone. Simple acceptance. To him, that was what a mother did. She birthed her children and left them behind to fend for themselves. Whether they lived or died was solely up to them. Seraphina had struggled to comprehend it, but as an animal, he couldn't understand why she was so baffled. As they'd headed for her tent, he'd glanced back at the nursing mother one last time.
Should we have children, would you nurse my dragonette in such a manner?
What an odd question. Of course. A slow smile
had spread across his handsome face. She cocked her head at the curiousness of it.
What?
I'm glad to have an Arcadian mother for my dragonettes. Perhaps the gods have finally forgiven me.
For what?
For surviving what should have killed me.
She'd never really understood what he meant, and he'd refused to explain it further. Now, Seraphina stared at the three dragon brothers who'd never known a mother's tender, loving touch, never known what a real family was. Not that she had that much experience herself. Her own family had been brutally slaughtered by a dragon raid when she'd turned 14. Her mother's last act had been to wrap her dragon cloak around Seraphina and shove her into a small knoll where the dragons couldn't reach her. Made from the scales of the dragons her mother had slain, it had protected her young body from their dragon fire as they razed her village. But that act had left her mother exposed to their fury and attack, and she died in agony, trying her best to save her daughters and tribe. It was why Seraphina hated the Katagaria so much and had vowed to see them in their graves. When she'd learned that she was mated to one.
Kill me.
Maxus had handed her his own dragon-headed dagger, and lain back in bed, arms spread, his throat offered in sacrifice.
If you can't bear this union, then free us both from it. I'd rather be dead than damned to no comfort whatsoever.
Growling in fury, she'd straddled him, fully intending to take his offer. But as she looked into those calm, receptive, human eyes that waited for her killing blow, she'd been unable to deliver it. While she, like her mother before her, had slain countless dragons in battle, she'd never murdered a man, not in cold blood. As if reading her thoughts, he'd fearlessly covered her hand with his and pressed the blade against his throat. So close, he'd drawn his own blood.
Finish it, Dragon Slayer. Free yourself from the fate's curse.
Her gaze had gone from his eyes to the scars on his body from his own battles against her people. Every thought in her mind had screamed at her to take his life, to end him right then and there.
He's an animal, an enemy.
His muscles had tensed as he pressed the blade even deeper into his neck. With her battle cry, she'd pulled the dagger away from his throat and thrown it aside. Then she'd buried her hands in his hair and kissed him, rolling in bed until he was on top of her. His body wedged between her legs, he'd held himself completely still as he stared down at her, waiting for her to change her mind. She'd wanted to curse him, hate him, but she'd lost her heart to those tormented, pain-filled eyes, to the sweetness of his lips and hair the color of honey and laced with small braids and feathers. He didn't touch her like an animal. He touched her like a tender man who saw only her and no one else. Knowing she was consigning them both to an uncertain future, she'd drawn a ragged breath.
Finish the mating, dragon. May the gods have mercy on us both.
But they never had. Rather, they'd taken perverse pleasure in driving a wedge between them every day until Maxus had finally had enough of her and her people and walked away with his heart as shattered by betrayal as hers. It had tied her mother's death for the worst moment in her life. Until she discovered his escape from her tribe, she'd foolishly thought that his death or absence would be a relief, that it would restore her life to what it had been before she found him and make everything right again. It hadn't. Instead, it had almost destroyed her. Too late, she'd realized what she'd held in her hands and not seen, what her dragon lord had actually meant to her, everything wonderful he'd brought to her life. A dragon hunting party had taken her family and childhood innocence in the span of one brutal night.
but a single fierce dragon lord had given her a soul and heart. He taught her to smile and love again, to trust. Most of all, he taught her to laugh and to live in ways she hadn't known existed. Then, in one single act to save himself, he'd banished her back to darkness, leaving her there, bereft and heartbroken. And she couldn't even blame him for it. He'd endured more than any creature should have to. Tears gathered in her eyes as she stared up at him again, and those memories haunted her anew. He was as beautiful now as he'd been then. Gods, I thought this would be easier to do.
What?
Consign you to death. Again. Seraphina bit her lip as she glanced between them. I don't know what to do, Maxis. Even though they can't use our children for the spell they have, Nala will gut them if I fail to deliver the Dragon Bane's heart to her.
Why him?
Elarion asked. She shrugged. The spell they have requires the heart of the father of our race, the firstborn Apolite dragon who drew first blood.
The Dragonbane.
Max met Elarion's gaze and knew the secret the two of them had shared for 5,000 years. They weren't just bound by their mother's blood. They'd been bound by one prince's and pantheon's savage cruelty. Blaze cleared his throat. You know, having been raised around the queen bitch of the fey folk and watching the nasty shit she's pulled on everyone, the backstabbing, the lies, half-truths, etc., I just have to ask one simple question. Has anyone bothered to find out what this spell will actually do once it's cast? Max laughed bitterly.
I have a really good idea, since they have Hayden's Emerald Tablet.
Blaze's eyes bugged at the mention of that. Combine that with what you guard.
And your heart,
Elarion finished. Blaze made the sound of an explosion as he flung his hands out. Seraphina scowled. I don't quite understand what you're saying.
Max locked gazes with her. They're not just planning on destroying this striker. They're planning on releasing the destroyer, reuniting the gods of chaos, and reestablishing the old order.
Blaze nodded. If they succeed in this, honey, it ain't just your kids they'll kill. It's every creature who has an ounce of light energy in them. Elarion let out a silent sigh.
Which means all of us and everyone we love. And a few we're not that fond of, either.